At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A warmer friendly hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts, and we've got a great podcast for you as we're going to be joined in segment number two by Eli Hershkovich. Eli does a great job over at the lines, and I know that some of you guys have been requesting for a few futures plays. I really don't do a lot in terms of futures, but when you guys ask and there's something that I can't deliver, I get you guys a guess that can deliver. Eli has got a few futures plays and he's looking at, he had one in the SEC. That number has moved a little bit, but he's got one in the Big 12 that we still have some solid value on. We're also going to be talking about taking a look at futures throughout the season as well, which I think is something that is very good to do, trying to be able to find the best of the number in terms of the futures market. And on top of that, we're going to be looking at a few teams that perhaps night number one, the line was perhaps a little bit too lofty on them, teams that were able to find good value on them, either fading or backing. And Eli is someone that takes it a little bit easier when it comes to the start of the college basketball season. So we're going to be talking about just gathering data points for those of you guys that haven't fired in a lot of bets and just being able to make the most out of those bets within the next few weeks. In the final segment, I'm going to give you guys picks and analysis on every game on the college basketball betting board for this Tuesday as we hit some bank shots. And I'm sure that we will get a lot of these, but if you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Biggest question I've really gotten in terms of the spreadsheet, and I'll make this a very quick and easy answer, is if it's still downloadable, because as you guys know, it's on the VSiN website, and it is. If you take a look, if you're looking on a computer, it is at the bottom of the screen. On the phone, it might be a little bit different just because phone settings are always a tad different, but you'll notice that each tab has its own day, and it is clickable. Like, for Monday, it was 11.7. Today, it's going to be 11.8. If you're using a mouse, if you right-click, you're able to have different download options, open it up in a new tab, open it up with sheets, what have you. If you're on phone, you just hold down on that link that says like 11.7, 11.8, 11.9, whatever date it is, and then you're able to open that in a new tab, in a new sheet, what have you, on your phone as well. So the spreadsheet, it is still downloadable. Reason why it's currently housed on VSiN is because, well, if I wouldn't house it on VSiN, because so many of you guys have been checking it out, the sheet would literally crash. I'm not even kidding. I got warnings today because if it wasn't housed on VSiN, there were so many people that were viewing the sheet that it would crash. So that is the reason why it is housed up there. And it certainly is great that you guys are loving everything. And you know what? I am very, very happy that college basketball is back in our lives. And we had a tremendous night number one. I'm doing this as some of the West Coast games are still in the balance, but we've got a lot of the early games in the book. So let's take a look at everything that we did get in college basketball Monday and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
Lots of games are still pending, so I'll have more set trend numbers in terms of how the favorites and the underdogs have done on the podcast tomorrow. And, well, when it comes to the Tuesday slate, it is much more tame as well, so that'll give us a nice little bit of a breather as well. But something I noticed is that a lot of double-figure favorites, they were able to cover early. We saw this with even a team like a Charlotte being able to knock off Coppin State. If you, like me, had the over in that one, that was a little bit brutal. But that said, you saw Kentucky just completely roll over Howard by 30-plus points. Kentucky, they were playing very shorthanded, but they were still able to look very solid in that one. Rutgers, they win by 40 against Columbia in a game in which they were without Caleb McConnell. I think he's one of the best defensive players in all of college basketball because of a 43-6 run that they had from the back half of the first half into the second half. I think that overall that run lasted something in the neighborhood of like 13 or 14 minutes. That's just absolutely insane. You saw Ohio State just completely mollywop all over Robert Morris by kind of 91-53. This looks like a good Ohio State team, by the way, for Ohio State. 20 points out of Justice Suing. He was a little bit questionable for this game, so that was very good to see. You saw West Virginia be able to get the win and cover barely against Mount St. Mary's by kind of 76-58. And I think the big thing for West Virginia is that Trey Mitchell was able to get out there on the court and he was able to play 13 points off the bench. So that's big as well, because we did see quite a few guys that they were a little bit of unexpected scratches. Some of these we did know coming in, like we were figuring that Derek Lively was most likely going to be out of the fold for Duke, and that really didn't slow down Duke at all. You saw them be able to take down, in my opinion, a good Jacksonville team. I know that when you think Jacksonville, you think of probably more of the Jaguars, not necessarily the Dolphins in college basketball, but that's it for Duke. Being able to get a nice win opening night by kind of 71-44 without Derek Whitehead in the fold, without Derek Lively. That's very good, as Kyle Filipowski was able to get a double-double to begin his college basketball career. And guy that I feel like a lot of people slept on, Mark Mitchell. He was lost in the sauce with all the great recruits that came in for Duke. 18 points. So that was a very impressive showing. And then Pittsburgh, a team that was dealing with injuries, 80-58. But how about if we go to the ACC for this one? And a big takeaway I had. Florida State, they're dealing with injuries right now. Baba Miller, you were expecting him to be out there in the fold. He got suspended prior to the season. They also lost Jalen Gainey for the entirety of the campaign. So they've been dealing with a lot of depth pieces being out of the fold. They lose outright to Stetson. And Florida State closed as an 18-point favorite, 83-74. This Stetson team went 14 of 35 from three-point range with 27 points off the bench for Luke Brown. He was able to do an absolutely incredible job of striking it from three-point range, coming in off the bench. And then for Florida State, they were able to get 16 points out of Matthew Cleveland, but the team in general just was not able to guard very well. And for Florida State, 14 of 27 at the free throw line. Florida State was a bunch that, prior to the injuries, I thought that they were going to be perhaps that number three team in the ACC. Going to need to probably reevaluate that a little bit. Miami was actually down to Lafayette at the half, another team that I thought was going to be solid in the ACC coming into the season. A little bit less concerned here, but that said, for Miami, just 10 of 34 from three-point range. Nigel Pack, 16 points. He was solid. And no Chad Omier. I'm very curious to see what he does against power conference competition, but 11 points, 15 rebounds. He looked rock solid in this one. And for Miami, I think that it's going to be very intriguing to take a look at them moving forward, as they too went 15 of 25 at the free throw line, as we did see quite a bit of shoddy free throw shooting on opening night. When it comes to the top 25 teams, as I'm doing this right now, you really haven't had a lot of surprises. The Houston versus Northern Colorado game is wrapping up as I do this. With about 3 minutes remaining, Houston is up by 41 points. They just completely took it to them. I mean, it's just incredible what Marcus Sasser was able to do, 20-plus points. He's a preseason All-American, and he's looking relatively solid. TCU was able to restore order, but they were down 20 points at one point to Arkansas Pine Bluff. Arkansas Pine Bluff unable to win it outright, and them being a 35-point underdog, I believe that that would be the largest underdog to win outright in college basketball history, as you had Sean Doss just really come out sizzling for Arkansas Pine Bluff. And Arkansas Pine Bluff was doing this without Rashad Williams out there on the court, who I really thought was going to be their top scorer. Mike Miles, he's dealing with a little bit of an injury. He was able to play and was able to do a better job towards the second half, but that's something that really did stand out to me. Something else that stood out to me is that I know that there have been varying opinions on Memphis coming into the season. They looked solid against Vanderbilt. They were able to get the job done, as it was a very, very grimy game. This is a game that at the half, it was a kind of 34-22 with Memphis leading. You could tell that Kendrick Davis wasn't necessarily looking 100%. I know that he's been dealing with some injury concerns, but this is a Memphis bunch that they do a good job of just swarming to the ball in general. And for Memphis, they finally have been able to find that point guard that is able to cut down on the turnover. So I think that that is going to be massive for them. a team that I had a lot of promise for coming into the season, Temple. They lose outright to Wagner, so this was a little bit of a shocker to me. Temple, they're going to have Villanova coming up, and if you had Villanova laying the points, and I was one of those people that laid the points with Villanova, terrible beat against LaSalle. Villanova was covering pretty much the entirety of the game, and then the last 90 seconds turns into a calamity, but that's it for Wagner, 76-73. I was very curious to see how Wagner was going to be able to respond to not having Bashir Mason, who was the coach for them for a very long time after he left for the St. Peter's Peacocks. And for Wagner, they won this game just by being smart. They won the rebound battle 37-35. Temple had 13 turnovers, and Wagner, they had just 8. And you have to wonder how much they're going to be able to get out of K-Leaf Battle, because he's been dealing with injuries the last few seasons. He had 16 points, but he needed 16 shots in order to get there as well. And Wagner might be a team to look at in the NEC. So that was one that really did stand out to me. And you also did see Cleveland State have the epic 91 loss as they lose to Notre Dame College. No, this is not the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Them losing to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish would be very, very understandable, but this is Notre Dame College, 72-68. Not great, to say the least, for Cleveland State, as the Dennis Gates era, or the lack of Dennis Gates era, starts off for them with a big giant clunker. Meanwhile, the Dennis Gates era for Missouri, that starts out very, very well, as Missouri was able to get the job done, and they were able to win by double figures against Southern Indiana, so they looked very solid in that game. And for Missouri, they were really able to get things going with Kobe Brown. He put up a double-double. He had like 16 points and 13 boards with about 9 minutes remaining in the second half. So I do like what I'm seeing out of this Missouri team. Florida, they completely just pummeled Stony Brook, 81-45, the final in that one. Todd Golden has things a-humming for Florida. I know that that's one of the features plays of our next guest in Eli Hershkovich. We'll be talking to him about that in a few minutes. But Alex Fudge off the bench, 16 points. Very impressed by what I saw out of them. And for Stony Brook, it's going to be a long season for them. They were able to get 11 points out of Frankie Polselli, but probably not a team that you want to be backing too much when it comes to very tight of lines. Also, when it came to the start of the college basketball day, for those of you guys that laid the big giant Mondo number with Baylor, it didn't matter if you laid 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44. Heck, you could have laid 55 and you would have gotten there. 117-53. I truly thought this was a top 5 versus bottom 5 matchup, and it turned out to be Mississippi Valley State. They made 16 baskets and they had 25 turnovers. That's just remarkable. Baylor, meanwhile, they were able to get 42 points off of made threes. So their made threes were 11 points fewer than Mississippi Valley State had as a collective. Now, you do have Jonathan Chamachachua. It's going to be out of the fold for quite a while for Baylor, but Adam Flagler, 21 points, 8 assists in just 25 minutes. You had a pair of guys coming off the bench like a Dale Bonner, and then you also had Langston Love be able to put up 13-plus points apiece for both of them. So that was just a complete and utter tail-whipping. You saw Michigan be able to take it to Purdue-Fort Wayne, 75-56. And for Purdue-Fort Wayne, promising about first 3 minutes of the game, and then it was the Hunter Dickinson show, 22 points, 12 boards, as he went 9 of 11 from the floor. I do want to see a little bit more of Jalen Llewellyn, just 2 points in this one, but Michigan, it appears as though it's a very deep team. That was encouraging to see, and also out there in the Big Ten, how about Indiana? Not a good first half for them. As a matter of fact, they were tied 21-21 with about 9 minutes left in the first half against Morehead State, and then they really just took it to them, 88-53, the final. Indiana looked very good. Night number one, Trace Jackson Davis contributing 15 points and 7 rebounds, and Malik Renu, he is the freshman that came in late for the team, 15 points off the bench, so you're able to feel very good about the Indiana size. Want to see a little bit more out of the backcourt, but still, it is going to be a good season, in my opinion, for that bunch. It is also going to be interesting to see how this team is able to work things out, as you saw Northern Illinois lose to Illinois of Springfield, a non-D1 team. It's not like I thought that Northern Illinois was going to be some sort of a world beater or anything like that. And you had David Colt have 27 points on 25 shots in this game as well, which that's a little bit of a problem in and of itself. But when Northern Illinois is getting out-rebounded by a non-D1 team by 15, that tells you exactly where they are at, as I mean, they actually won the turnover battle by darn near 10, but The Northern Illinois Huskies is looking like it's going to be a very rough season for them. A team that I ranked in my mid-major top 25 in Southern Illinois. They, with 5 minutes remaining against Little Rock, are up by 30 points. They are looking very solid. That's a team that you want to be buying some stock in. St. Louis, they were expected to be very good out there in the Atlantic 10, and they were able to just completely pummel Murray State, a new-look Murray State team, but with about a minute left, 89-66, just a complete and utter dismantling as Yuri Collins, he had 14 assists to 0 turnovers. Javonte Perkins, who missed all of last season, 21 points. He was able to go 4 of 10 from 3-point range. For SLU, they did a good job of having Francis Okoro just reign supreme on the glass, as well as he had 13 rebounds. And then Javon Pickett, a little bit of an under-the-radar transfer, 13 points, 13 boards. St. Louis very much made a good impression on me, night number one. Not such a great impression from Loyola Chicago, as they played a dogfight against Fairleigh Dickinson, a Fairleigh Dickinson team that they were an underdog of 26 points. And Fairleigh Dickinson, they actually changed around their coaching regime during the offseason. And despite the fact that they started off 5 of 22 from 3-point range, they were able to do a good job of containing Loyola Chicago, a team that, you know, that they're going to be very reliant upon the three ball. I honestly wasn't too bullish on Loyola Chicago coming into the season, so I wasn't necessarily stunned that they were getting a little bit more of a test from them. Now, that said, I didn't think that they would be in danger of losing outright in that game or anything like that, but still, not too terrific there. I'm doing this as the first half of Gonzaga North Florida is wrapping up, and Gonzaga up 52-23 on our good friends North Florida. I know that there were a lot of people that were reacting to the scrimmage result that they had against Tennessee. I don't think that you can read too much into them because Tennessee, they did not cover against Tennessee Tech. Now, they were laying 35 points, so I don't read too much into that either. But Drew Timmy had 16 points in the first half against poor, poor North Florida, the good old mighty Osprey. And Gonzaga looks like a well-oiled machine again. I don't know if they're going to be able to win the national championship or anything like that, but still very much a team that is going to be having a little bit of a rough go of it. And Kansas State, they got up 47-18 on UT Rio Grande Valley. I'm very curious to look at them because Kansas State is a team that I had projected dead last in the Big 12, but I mean them in like a conference like the Pac-12, I think that they would be very, very good. And Keontae Johnson, he was able to put up double figures in the first half of that game. That is terrific to see. If you guys took the DK Nation pick, by the way, that ended up hitting in what turned out to be probably the best game of the night, Ohio versus Belmont. It looked like Ohio hit a buzzer beater to win the game. Upon further review, there was about a second left on the clock, and then Belmont, they're able to ice the game away with a three. But if you took the between 5 and 6.5 points that you were getting with Ohio, you were able to get there. So we start out with our DK Nation picks 1-0. We're going to be looking to go to 2-0 today, but Cade Tyson made a game-winning three for Belmont after it looked like A.J. Clayton had just won the game for Ohio. This was very nearly an epic meltdown by Belmont because they were up with 55 seconds left by 5 points. You had Belmont make like your buddy at the bar, and they were unable to close at the free throw line, going 7 of 13 at the free throw line. But that is someone to note as Mr. Tyson, true freshman, 6'7" combo player, 18 points for Belmont. And for Ohio, you'd had Dwight Wilson III, who he was a big part of the team that made the NCAA tournament 2 seasons ago, 20 points, 8 boards. I feel like he was really forgotten about, and he had himself a very nice game. If you're looking at just other things that really caught my eye, I think that it's going to be a long year for DePaul. They're able to get by against Loyola Maryland, but that was by a count of 72-66 Kansas. They don't cover, but they win very easily against Nebraska of Omaha, 89-64. As for Kansas, you had Grady Dick look really good. 4 of 6 from 3, 23 points. It's going to be a long day for whoever is facing off against that guy. Hopefully you guys picked up on that joke right there. And Jalen Wilson, 19 points, 11 boards, 3 of 7 from 3-point range. So good signs there for Kansas. Just because a team doesn't cover doesn't mean that there aren't good signs to be had with a lot of these teams as well. But just overall, a very fun day of college basketball in general, including the Penguins, Youngstown State. We've got a lot of people that were in on them, 92-81. They were able to win outright against Kenesha. So you've got so many results. And if you ever do have a result or two that you're seeing and you ever want me to recap it on the podcast, always fire that in as well at GUnit_81 if there's anything in particular you want me to recap. Because as I am doing this, we still have quite a few games that are going on. So I'll be giving you guys a little bit more of a full report as to how the underdogs and the favorites are doing, how overs and unders are doing. List goes on and on. Also, as I'm doing this, this just caught my eye. Montana State up 36-19 at the half on Grand Canyon. Boy, oh boy, Grand Canyon defense that was one of the best in all of college basketball last season, and a team that I legitimately had high expectations for in the WAC. Not necessarily looking so terrific on that front, so that is something that just in passing caught my eye, and something that is always catching my eye is the tremendous work that is done by one Eli Hershkovich over there at the Lions. He's going to be joining me next. We're going to be talking a little bit about futures. We're also going to be talking about just maybe trying to get a few more data points before really firing in terms of the college basketball slate. I know that there's a lot of differing opinions on that. I know that Eli likes to take it easy a little bit more, so he's going to be talking about that and so much more next here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eaves Peterson, now part of the Eaves Family Podcast.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back to the lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eaves Peterson, and now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It is great to be joined by our guest, Eli Hershkovich, who's doing absolutely terrific work over there at the Lions, and I know that he's got a little bit of a new podcast called Outside Shots. You're able to download that wherever you get this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, list goes on and on, and Eli is a man that, much like myself, absolutely loves college basketball, and in his Twitter profile, he calls himself a college hoops advocate. Very much so is that. As to be able to follow Eli on Twitter, that is at his name, Eli Hershkovich. Last name is spelled H-E-R-S-H-K-O-V-I-C-H altogether. And Eli, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Greg. Yeah, I put that in my Twitter profile probably 5 years ago, and it's just stuck. You can't really take that kind of and information about yourself, especially when you got the word advocate in there. It's too good.
It is absolutely tremendous, and it is very much warranted with the way that you love college basketball. I do as well. And Eli, I know that you do a great job of taking a look at the futures market. I had you on about a month or so ago, give or take a little bit, and I know that You were on Florida coming into the season, no doubt. That's a line that has moved a little bit, but I know you've got another team that you wrote up, another team that you're looking at in terms of having some value in the futures market. So take me through what you were looking at coming into the season and what you all like in terms of the futures board.
Yeah, so a couple of the futures plays I've added, one in the national title futures market, which I guess is where we could start, that you mentioned. So Florida was the one that I bet in April, the night that Scottie Scheffler actually won the Masters. I bet the Florida Gators at 120-1. Don't like it necessarily as much at the number that it's currently at. I think it's as low as 60-1 at some sports books like DraftKings. But the other futures bet that I bet so far, national title wise, is Texas. And you could find them as high as 30-1. I got them at 35-1 back over the summer, and that price was still available in early to mid October. But the Longhorns, if you think about their defensive structure under Chris Beard, and how he transformed that Texas Tech team before he went to his alma mater last season in the Texas Longhorns. When Texas Tech made it to the title and was the runner-up back in the 2018-2019 season, they had two elite rim protectors in Tariq Owens and Norris Odiasse, and a great no-middle defense, pressure-packed no-middle defense with a wing in Jarrett Culver that could create a bunch of turnovers. And this team is built similarly, but their guard play is even stronger. So you add Tyrese Hunter from Iowa State, who ranked in the 99th percentile in steal rate and the 98th percentile in passing efficiency. So great point guard at both ends of the floor and leads the charge on and for that no middle defense. And then I mentioned the back end in terms of what Chris Beard had at Texas Tech. Now you have a healthy Dylan Dessue from Vanderbilt, who was still there last year, but was never really healthy, even when he came back in the midst of conference play. And Christian Bishop up front, and Timmy Allen, Marcus Carr, two more so scores, but guys that bought in to his defense, especially in the middle to later part of conference play and come the NCAA tournament when that team nearly knocked off Purdue in the round of 32. So defensively, if you go back to last season, the Texas Longhorns allowed the fourth lowest shot quality points per possession in the half court. I think this defense has a chance to be even better, and a shot to be the best defense in the country. And then at the other end, I mentioned Tyrese Hunter coming in at the point guard spot. That gives Marcus Carr the opportunity to play more off ball and create more shooting opportunities for himself instead of trying to be the distributor along with being the primary scorer from the point guard spot. Now he goes to his more natural position at the two guard role. So I really like Texas. I know the one area of concern is perimeter shooting, and besides what they added in Serge Ibari Rice from New Mexico State, there isn't a ton in terms of consistency there, but I think the two other areas that I mentioned in terms of defense and elite guard play, especially with the freshman Artario Morris coming in, really solidifies that backcourt from a depth standpoint. Texas has a lot of upside, and I think at even as low as 25-1 is still a bettable title futures bet.
And I know that KenPom had Texas in his top three as well, which I think that might be a little bit lofty just because I want to see how all the pieces coexist. But the talent for Texas to be a top five team, that is certainly there. I'm not going to dispute that. I just want to see how the backcourt looks in general. But that's why you're getting a number more like a 25-1 rather than, say, a 10-1 right now. And that's where the value lies, as Eli Hershkovich is joining me on the podcast. And I really think that that is important to take a look at with futures right now, because we've got sort of the teams at the top, like the Gonzagas, like the Houstons, North Carolina. You got those big three teams along with Kentucky. They're all towards like the 10-1 range, depending upon where you shop. Maybe you'll get a little bit better. Maybe you'll get a little bit worse. But what I think is important in terms of the futures market right now is trying to be able to buy low on some of these teams, because I still recall a very incredible stat that I saw a few days ago. Since the start of the 2000, and I believe it's 17 season, a KenPom team that was ranked 25th or worse has made the Final Four in every single season. And I recall in 2018 when Loyola Chicago made it, you actually had two of them. And I do think that there are good opportunities to be able to find some value in the futures market that's away from really like the big three or the big five.
No, it's a great point, Greg. And you think about the top of the college basketball futures odds board at a bunch of different sports books. It's not always, and especially this year, it's not the same team up top. You have North Carolina, who is the consensus favorite to win it all, but not necessarily the favorite at every single legal sports book. Gonzaga is the favorite at some sports books. Houston is a favorite or tied for the shortest odds with Gonzaga at another sports book. Kentucky is up there with North Carolina tied for the shortest odds at a different legal sports book. And among those four teams, I think there are a lot of flaws between the four of them to the point where there isn't a true juggernaut across college basketball this year like we had 2 years ago when Gonzaga and Baylor both made it to the title game and Baylor blew them out with that elite no middle defense that Scott Drew runs. And you go back to last season even with a championship game of North Carolina and Gonzaga, or North Carolina and Kansas, that is. And let's start there because Kansas, I don't think they're making the title game this year. I mean, they lost a ton of production, starting with David McCormick and Ochai Agbaji, even Remy Martin, who hit some huge shots for them in the title game, two huge threes in the final 3 minutes of that game. But back to the four teams atop the odds board, North Carolina, I think it's going underrated in terms of the replacement that you're getting in Pete Nance replacing Brady Manek, because Manek's contested shot making was unparalleled going back to last season. And while Pete Nance could shoot it and was Northwestern's best player, you're going from playing at Northwestern to playing at North Carolina. You're not being presented as a go-to scoring option because you have Caleb Love, you have RJ Davis, you have Armando Bacot, and even Leaky Black. So four out of the five Iron Five from last season. But that's still a huge role that you're trying to replace. And I don't think he's going to be nearly as reliable in terms of his perimeter shooting, even though he was a capable shooter at Northwestern. It's a completely different shift going to that sort of a high-level program, even though he played for a high major in Northwestern. Gonzaga loses an all-around elite defender in Chet Holmgren, who sparked their transition offense. And granted, you could play a little more through Drew Timmy on the block versus trying to get the ball to Holmgren and Timmy throughout a course of a 40-minute game. But again, losing Holmgren impacts their defense in a huge way. Houston loses three critical pieces, including Moore, their wing from last season, Josh Carlton and Fabian White. And this is a Cougars team that was top 15 at both ends of the floor in terms of offensive efficiency, points per possession-wise, on shot quality, and the same ranking at the other end of the floor. And those three players made a huge difference at each end. Again, and then Kentucky, we don't know the health of Oscar Tshiebwe long-term. Sabir Wheeler seems to be okay short-term, even though he's not playing on opening night. But the point is that I really don't think there's an elite team at the top of the odds board. And that's why I think looking middle tier at some of these futures, like a team in Texas that was overvalued last year, and I think it's pretty undervalued in relation to their futures price. That's why I went and looked and attacked the Longhorns.
And I'm so glad that you bring up the Kentucky example, because I think that that's a good reason why a lot of times with futures, it's sometimes best to shop for them in season, because you mentioned it. Oscar Tshiebwe currently dealing with an injury for Kentucky. Xavier Wheeler did not play against Howard. Now, as we're doing this Howard versus Kentucky game, just got tipped off, so I mean, we'll give you a final on that front, but I do take a look at Kentucky as perhaps being a team that if they take a few losses, they could have some good value. Rather than getting like a 10-1, maybe you get closer to 15-1. Maybe they fall down to like 20-1, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then it becomes a nice buy point on a Kentucky team that once they've got Xavier Wheeler along with Oscar Tshiebwe back in the fold, they're firing all cylinders. They have a good chance to be able to win the SEC. But I think that just trying to be able to take a look at the best number and trying to take a look at the schedules of some of these teams as well can be very critical, because the difference in a future of getting, say, a 10 or 12-1 between that and about a 15 to 18-1 can be pretty massive in your payout.
No doubt. And you brought up the Kentucky example. I bet Kentucky, after they lost to Notre Dame, I want to say maybe a week or so after that game, and they opened the season around plus 1,800, so 18-1. I got them at 30-1, and I felt great going into the tournament, considering, I want to say, going into mid-March, they were around 8 or 9-1 to win it all. And then they went on and missed 12 free throws against St. Peter's. Xavier Wheeler came up short at the free throw line in overtime. Oscar Tshiebwe did all he could. Obviously, Kellen Grady's plantar fasciitis played a role. But again, it didn't work out in terms of the bet itself. But I did get value, closing line value. I don't really want to say that in terms of a futures bet versus a single game bet. But nonetheless, I got a better price than where the Kentucky Wildcats entered into the NCAA tournament. It just didn't work out because sometimes variance just happens. That's a part of betting in any sport that you partake in. You're correct, Greg. It doesn't matter the sport. It doesn't matter the team for college basketball. If you think you can wait and get a better number, granted, it doesn't always work out in your favor, but there are opportunities like Kentucky last year.
Absolutely. And I do think that there's a lot of opportunities early on this season to be able to make some money as well. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Eli Hershkovich. He does a great job over at the Lions. And we're doing this as a lot of the games for Monday are just tipping off right around 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And I just want to get your thoughts on what we saw in terms of the Lions from night number one. And if there was a team or two that you saw that you felt like was a little bit overvalued or undervalued night number one, that might be worth taking a look at moving forward. Because no doubt when you've got 126 games on the board, there's bound to be a few things that are a little bit off in comparison to what you handicap. Like, I thought that there were a few MAC teams like Ohio and Buffalo that were a little bit undervalued. So I bet a lot of the MAC, I personally have been taking a lot to the SWAC in terms of betting that conference out of conference, as they actually went out of conference last season 73-53, and I believe they had three pushes against the spread. So I've been able to make a little bit of coin off of them the last few seasons. In terms of what we saw night number one, in terms of the Lions themselves, do you think that there's a few teams that maybe were a little bit overvalued or undervalued by bookmakers night number one?
Well, again, we're recording this as the Monday results are going on, so it's hard to necessarily say moving forward because we need to evaluate these teams just like we do the futures market, Greg, entering the season. But one team that I like, not just on opening night, underperformed going back to last season, and I think might be a little undervalued as a result, the Penn Quakers, with Jordan Dingle now officially back in the starting lineup after dealing with some injury issues in October. And you also have your big going back to the last couple seasons. Obviously, you had the season of no Ivy League sports, but one of their bigs over the last couple of years who didn't, I want to say, play maybe 15 games during his 2 year stretch with the Penn Quakers, and now back in the starting lineup. So assuming he's healthy, I think Penn in this motion offense, especially with one of the best scores in the country, not just from a mid-major standpoint in Jordan Dingle, has a shot to generate some value here in the early portion of the season. Penn has a road game on Friday night against Missouri. KenPom makes that line, I want to say, Missouri minus 12. So if bookmakers do indeed copy that line like we see from time to time, might be an opportunity. Still need to dig into that game and matchups, etc. But Penn is a team that I'm looking at in the early portion of the season that appears to be a little undervalued because of how they performed last year, considering the expectations. But injuries play a role into that. And having an elite scorer like Jordan Dingle changes a lot if this lineup is going to be healthy for the long term. Obviously, injuries carry over from season to season, and teams don't necessarily reach their ceiling because of that and hit a floor that may be unexpected. But Penn is a team, the Quakers, that I'm looking at least in the early goings from Monday's card that might have some value moving forward.
I think that that's a good point there. And I know that you're someone that you take things a little bit easier when it comes to the start of the college basketball season. I think that you had very, very few / no bets for Monday. And I remember you were talking to me and you were questioning whether or not you'd have a bet the first 3 or 4 days of the college basketball season. Take me through just what you do in general, because it feels like you want to get a data point or two before you start firing in. Take a look at how everything is really playing out in terms of the way that the bookmakers put out their numbers. And after seeing it for a few days, then you start jumping in.
Sure. Have a couple bets for Monday. So I ended up putting in 2 bets, and you can check those out. Everything is posted and updated in the Lines Discord. Head over to thelines.com. It's a free Discord channel. Get all my bets from there. You could even head to my Twitter account at Eli Hershkovich, and it's pinned on my profile, so you'll get that link easily and accessibly. Check out, also subscribe to the podcast that Greg mentioned. Hear all of my plays, similar to how Greg does his and shares all of his bets on his podcast. My podcast link is on my Twitter profile, Outside Shots, with a veteran college basketball reporter and also better on the side. Now just better in Scott Phillips. I used to cover college basketball at NBC Sports. I know you know him, a big Greg. Very,
oh, yes.
Very bright and smart college basketball IQ, and already had a great debut episode with me on Outside Shots. But looking ahead here and looking, you know, to what you were mentioning with opening week of the season, it is difficult to bet teams this early without getting those data points. Then again, when I see the returning production and I look at my power ratings and I see how my spreadsheets and such have teams rated, especially with that returning production and being able to account for it versus freshman laden teams and injuries. It's difficult to account for that in power ratings until the data is accessible, like you mentioned, over the first even few days of the season or a week. Then I kind of get more of a sense of how I want to go about it. But I was able to place a couple bets per my power rankings and ratings on Monday. I should have a couple bets with a loaded Friday card. Already had the talk with the girlfriend and already told her that I will not be doing anything Friday night because we have a ton of games to watch on Friday to get ready for the rest of the season. So that's the other part of it too, is it's not only from my model and how I gauge teams from a metric standpoint too. You got to watch these teams in the early portion of the season to get a sense of, and it's not just the eye test, Greg. Like, I hate people that say, okay, I don't use numbers. I don't use metrics. I just need to watch these guys. But there is a certain sense of that is needed from a camaraderie standpoint to be able to see it with your own eyes and to be able to watch these teams that don't have chemistry and don't have a lot of returning production, see what they're like and if there's any value moving forward on a game-by-game basis. Had a couple bets from Monday's card, have a couple bets, should have a couple bets later in the week. But that's kind of my process as a bettor, especially with a sport that I cover so closely in college basketball.
Absolutely. I do think that is a very good approach to take. It is going to be a great college basketball season. There's going to be no shortage of opportunities to be able to make quite a bit of money, even if you take it a little bit more tame here early on during the season. And hey, if you're able to get more data points as well, it allows you to be a little bit more informed, especially if you got a little bit of a late start as well, because I know that many, many people, they are handicapping the NFL, they're handicapping NBA, NHL, so there's a lot of different sports that goes on. And if you're a multi-sport bettor, actually taking a look at things for a week or two, probably the best approach to take, and or narrowing in, zooming in on a few conferences. That's always an approach that is very solid as well. And an approach that I always take on this podcast is trying to get great guests. And Eli, you certainly fit the bill, my friend. You do a great job over there at the Lions. Mentioned it before, you're doing a great job with your college basketball podcast. And I know you're going to be giving out plays all season long. You're going to be following this stuff much like myself. And you do a great job of taking a look at the futures market. So let the good people at home know how they're able to follow you on social media and everything they've got going on in general.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Eli Herskovich. Subscribe, rate, and review to the Outside Shots podcast, which you can find in the Lions Podcast Network. So you just search the Lions on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, any podcast platform, Spotify, and you'll be able to find the Lions Podcast. And within that, Outside Shots with myself and Scott Phillips. And check out thelions.com. Subscribe to the Discord channel to get all of my bets, futures bets. I have a bunch of write-ups over at thelions.com too, my futures column. I have the two national title plays along with a conference futures bet and my game-by-game write-ups. So can't wait to get going here the rest of the season, Greg. A lot of games to watch, a lot of data to digest here just in the first week, and pumped to be back on your podcast sometime soon.
And I'm pumped to have you aboard, Eli. Eli does absolutely amazing work. Taking a look at the great game of college basketball, one of the hardest workers that you're going to find in the industry. And it is always a pleasure to get him aboard. Big thanks to Eli Herskovich for joining me right here on Cusco Soups, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. Coming up next, certainly not as big of a slate as we had for Monday, but we still have picks and analysis on every single Tuesday game on the betting board for college basketball. And we're going to be hitting some bank shots as I give you guys picks and analysis on all of those things.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always great to get Eli Hershkovich on the show. He does absolutely amazing work taking a look at the great game of college basketball over there at the Lions. He's launched quite a few new podcasts and quite a few ventures for this college basketball season, including the Outside Shots podcast, which you're able to catch wherever you get this podcast. Always good to be able to get him aboard. Now it is that time of the podcast. They give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this College Basketball Tuesday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at @unit_81. We're going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the games on the normal board first, and then the games are on the extra games board. This involves conferences out there in like the SWAC, the MEAC, the America East, conferences like that. That'll get things all covered there, but let's start with 751-752 on the betting board. UW-Milwaukee is on the road facing off against Purdue. Purdue between a 26.5 and a 27-point favorite. Between 141 and 142 is the total. I did make my total 137. UW-Milwaukee, they bring in the coaching staff from Queens NC, so I do think that they're going to be playing a little bit more up-tempo this season than they did last season, where things were just a complete and utter mess, and they're going to be really relying upon Jalen Johnson. He comes in from the SWAC after at Alabama A&M last season. He had 16 points, 7.5 rebounds per contest. This is just a completely new look team. They're going to be relying upon Vin Baker Jr., who is back in the fold after he gave the team right about 5 points per contest last season. This is not going to be a tremendous 3-point shooting team. They shot as a collective about 31.5% last season, and they don't really bring in a lot of guys that are able to just shoot the cover off the ball. You've got Ahmad Arand, who's going to be coming in after he had about 5.5 points per contest last season at Oregon State, but I do think that this is a little bit too lofty of a number just because Purdue loses so much from last season. Jaden Ivey, Sasha Stefanovic, guys like that from the backcourt are now going to be out of the fold. Now they've got giant of the earth Zach Edey, who's 7'4", and last year was one of the just best defenders in all of college basketball in general. They do have David Jenkins to help out with that 3-point shooting. Last year at Utah, he was able to shoot 39.5% from 3-point range, and I do think that Caleb Furst, someone who's standing 6'10" and made 42.5% of his threes last season, going to be able to have a solid year as well. Fletcher Lawyer comes in as freshman. I think that he's going to be solid along with Ethan Tim Morton and Brandon Newman coming back for another season. Newman fell off the table a little bit in his production last season 2 years ago. Was able to put in their 8 points per contest, but I do think that UW-Milwaukee gonna have a little bit of toughness to them. They did have a little bit of a tough blow with Eden Holt deciding that he was going to be transferring elsewhere just before the start of the season, but I do think that someone like Vincent Michevich should be able to do a solid job down low and allow UW-Milwaukee to be able to hold within the summer. San Perdue is a 23-point favorite, so one to take between 26.5 and 27 with UW-Milwaukee. Made my total 137 as well. Purdue, traditionally not necessarily too much of an up-tempo team, so going to be looking at the under as well. 753, 754 on the betting board. It is Rider on the road against Providence. Providence, a 12.5 to a 13-point favorite. Total on this game is between 138.5 and 139. Did make my total 142.5. Rider, traditionally, a little bit more of an up-tempo team, and a bunch that they really bring back a lot from last season. Pretty much four other top five scorers are going to be back in the fold for this team, and they bring in Alan Bertrand. Bertrand did not have a great 2020-21 season, missed all of last season, but go back to the 2019-20 campaign while he was with Towson. He was able to shoot about 39% from three with 13.5 points per contest, so he is clearly a proven scorer. Mervin James, 11 points, 5 boards, able to shoot in the mid-30s from three-point range as a 6'7", a little bit of a combo player. And then Dwight Murray Jr., Mr. Do-It-All for this team. 13 points, 6.5 boards, 4.5 assists per game, but I really like what Providence did in the transfer portal, and they do return quite a bit from last season. Even with Noah Horkler and Nate Watson on the fold, they still have Ed Croswell. He was able to give the team 5 rebounds per game last season. I think that he's going to be able to do some very good work for this team. And then Jared Bynum, he is back after last season. He shot 41% from 3, 12 points, 4 assists per contest. Came off the bench a little bit more, so bit of a new role for him. But Bryce Hopkins, 6'7" combo player, a former top 75 recruit, I think is really going to be able to bust out Clifton Moore. Replaces what they lose down low, 2.8 blocks per contest. While at LaSalle last season, Alan Breed, when they trotted him out there on the court, he was able to lend some very good minutes last year as well. Corey Floyd Jr. is a former top 150 recruit, and Devin Carter, he was able to put up 9 points per contest with South Carolina last season. I do think that Providence is going to take it to a Rider team that oftentimes with Rider, they are a little bit lax on defense. They do have Ajiri Aguamo-Johnson, who last season was able to give the team right in the neighborhood above 7 rebounds per contest, and I do think that he's going to be able to do an okay job, but I think that Providence, just with their talent and the way that Ed Cooley is one of the best coaches in all of college basketball, going to be able to lead them to a nice double-figure win, set Providence as a 14.5-point favorite. One later, did make my total as well, 142.5. This feels like it might be the best outside shooting team for Providence in quite some time, so looking at the over as well. We go to my DK Nation pick of 755, 756. Duquesne is going to be playing with Montana. Montana is between a 6 and a 6.5 point underdog in your total on this game, and between 135.5 and 137.5. DK Nation pick is on Montana. I felt like they should have been a 1-point underdog, so I think that this is very much too overreactionary of a line. As long as you're getting more than one, I like Montana. I personally won't be taking them outright. I do think that this is a little bit more of a coin toss game because you do have a few guys from the backcourt from last season, like a Cameron Parker out of the fold, but they do bring in Aiden Moody. Moody last season, while he was playing for Southern Utah, shot 40% from three-point range. He's going to be able to help this team out from the outside. And then Josh Bannon needs to be a little bit better down low, but 15 points, 8.5 boards. He's able to stretch a floor, shot 35% from three as a 6'10", little bit of a combo player. They bring in Deshaun Thomas as well. He was on Colorado State last season where he was able to shoot over 40% from three as a 6'9" combo player. That is going to be hard for Duquesne to match up with. And the big problem for Duquesne is that Tevin Brewer, really their main transfer, he was dealing with complications from, it appears to be an appendectomy. He had quite a few surgeries done. If he does play, he's going to be very limited in this game after he had 15 points per contest, shot nearly 40% from three at Florida International last season. This team in Duquesne has brought in a bunch of transfers, and they just can never really seem to get online with each other ever since you've had the coaching regime change over the last few years. Joe Reese, 12 points, 5 boards per contest. Day-Day Grant, he's able to shoot a ball from three-point range at Miami of Ohio last season, 17.5 points per contest, shot 34.5%. from three-point range, but I really just need to see it to believe it from the Duquesne team. They lose so many of their contributors, other than really Kevin Easley. Easley was able to be solid last season. He was able to pour in there 10.5 points, 6.5 boards per contest, but they legitimately lose 5 out of their top 6 scorers from last season. I think that Tom DeSecure is really the better coach in this spot rather than Keith Dambrot, so I feel very comfortable taking the points here with Montana. That is going to be the DK Nation pick. Duquesne last season one of the slower teams in all of college basketball, Montana. They typically play sub 250 in terms of possessions per game as well, and Montana does not do a good job of getting second chance opportunities. Neither does Duquesne on glass. I think a lot of one and done possessions are going to be in line for this game, so DK Nation write up going to be on Montana with the points, and made my total 131, so looking at the under as well. 757, 758 on the betting board. Mercer hits a road faceoff against East Carolina. East Carolina is a 1.5-point underdog. Total on this game is between 136.5 and 137.5. I flipped this one. I made East Carolina the very slight favorite, so I'm going to be willing to take them as what is going to be a very slight money line underdog. And I think the big key for this team is, for one, Brandon Johnson continuing to do solid work down low. He was able to register 5 rebounds per game, but Winston Tabbs, he is a cheap code for this East Carolina team. Missed all of last season, but in the 27 games that he played a few seasons ago over at Boston College, he was terrific. 13.5 points, 3.5 boards, shot 36.5% from 3-point range, 2.5 assists per game as a 6'2", little bit of a do-everything sort of guy. Jackson Ellingsworth comes in as a freshman. I think that he's going to be able to do a good job. Luigi DeBolt, he is a 7-footer that should be able to offer a little bit of something down low as well. So I do think that there's some nice pieces with East Carolina. And for Mercer, they lose a few of their top guys, like a Felipe Haas, who decided that he was going to be going over to Southern Miss. As a result, they've been in quite a bit of transition. They bring in Luis Hurtado Jr. He was at Bryant last season, and he really doesn't do one thing great, but he's a Swiss Army knife guy. He can do whatever you need him to do. 4.5 points, 4.2 rebounds, 3.7 assists per contest 2 seasons ago. Shot above 40% from 3-point range. And James Glisson III, 10.5 points, 5 boards, solid 3-point shooter. So I do like his overall game, but I do have a little bit of question mark as to what you're going to be able to get out of Jalen Cobb in the backcourt, because Cobb, he missed all of last season, has never been a tremendous 3-point shooter. While I was at Fordham 2 seasons ago, averaged 3.5 assists, 4.5 boards, 7 points per contest, so he's able to be a little bit of a shifty guy himself. Jalen McCreary down low, he comes in from South Florida, a relatively solid defender, but that said, I do think that East Carolina has a nice home court advantage. This is actually going to be the first game ever since they had a little bit of a coaching change as well. I think that they're going to come out fired up. I think that East Carolina wins this game outright on their home floor. I set them as a 1.5-point favorite, so I want to take East Carolina as a very slight money line underdog. Semi-total 135.5 as well. I think that East Carolina going to be embracing quite a bit of defense with the way that their roster is built. Mercer has been playing a little bit slower under their coaching as well, so I'm going to be taking a look at this little under as well. And then this will be the last game on the normal Las Vegas betting board before we hit the extra games. This is 759, 760 on the betting board. San Jose State is going to be playing us to Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern between a 3 and 3.5-point underdog, and your total is between 134 and 134.5. Want to lay up to 6 with San Jose State. San Jose State, clearly a little bit of a work in progress, but I did like what you were able to get out of Tim Miles last season, the way that he was able to maximize this team, and make no qualms about it. It is all about Omari Moore. Led the team in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. 1.1 steals, 1.1 blocks, 4.5 assists, 5.5 rebounds, 13 points per contest. He was literally Mr. Do-It-All for the team. I don't know if there was another player in all of college basketball that led their team in all 5 categories, but Abrimam Diallo, he came in after he began his career at Ohio State. He was able to register 7 rebounds per contest, just was not able to stay healthy for the entirety of last season. Tibbet Groner began his career at Arizona. He's someone with some size that's able to shoot about 32% for 3 at 6'9", 7.5 points per contest, so I do like his overall game. This team has done a solid job of being able to scour the transfer portal as they're going to be bringing in Robert Viola. He is a 6'8 gentleman that comes in from Fresno State, should be able to help out down low along C.H. Tolbert. Tolbert was able to see a few starts last season at Temple. You can tell that this is a San Jose State team that's going to be embracing quite a bit of defense. They don't necessarily shoot it well from 3-point range, but Georgia Southern is not a team that necessarily shoots it well from 3 either. They shot 30.5% from 3-point range last season. Andre Savroff, he is a 6'7 combo player that's able to shoot about 32% from 3, 10.5 points, 5.5 boards per contest. Team is really going to be relying upon him for a lot of production because they lose Jetto Zeta Tapatis. He was able to shoot over 94% at the free throw line each of the last 2 seasons. Now, they bring back Kamari Brown along with Cam Bryant in the backcourt. Bryant He was able to give the team 7.5 points, shot about 35% from three-point range last season. Brown, about 9.5 points per contest as well. But they don't necessarily have that one guy that you're able to rely upon for a bunch of facilitation. I thought that Caden Archie could perhaps take that stride forward as a 6'6", a little bit of a point forward. Has never really been able to do so. And as a matter of fact, he's never registered more than 3 rebounds per contest. I do think that San Jose State going to be able to win the battle down low. It's going to be all about how far Jalen Finch can take this Georgia Southern team as he enters after shooting 38.5% for 3 with 9 points per contest at Jacksonville State last season. Is someone that is able to give you more like 4 assists per contest, but I just don't think that he's going to be enough to overcome San Jose State and the size advantage that they have down low. I think that this is going to be a little bit more of a grimy game. Semi-total 130 going under, and with San Jose State, made them the 6-point favorite, so one to lay it with the Spartans. Now we go to the extra games.
The normal betting board picks are complete, but there are some extra games today, so we go into the bonus.
306-617, 306-618. It is South Carolina State on the road against South Carolina. South Carolina saying between a 22 and a 24 point favorite, so quite a differential there between book to book, and between 138.5 and 139.5 is your total. And I said South Carolina is a 26 point favorite. I do think that South Carolina State is going to be one of the saddest teams in all of college basketball this season, and they have to take on G.G. Smith. He was going to be the number one prospect in the class of 2023, decided to reclassify to 2022. Now, with South Carolina, not going to be the world's greatest backcourt, but I do think that they should be able to handle this new-look team as South Carolina State underwent a coaching change in the offseason. They had a lot of transfers. Abriba Diba, he comes in from Coastal Carolina, where he was able to dole out 5.5 assists per contest, shot 35.5% from three-point range. I wouldn't be surprised to see Benjamin Bozeman's Verdonk, who comes in from Illinois, really get some minutes down low. And I do think that Michi Johnson, another guy that reclassified a few seasons ago, he should be able to blossom as well. Was only able to put up about 4.5 points per contest last season at Ohio State, but is a career about 35% three-point shooter. I think that he's got some very good upside. Chico Carter was a good three-point shooter last season. Meanwhile, for South Carolina State, just a bunch that they're looking for any sort of production that they're able to get. Cameron Jones is back after he last season was able to give the team 11 points per contest 2 seasons ago. Shot 45% from 3. That sunk down to 26% last season. Rashawn Edwards, he's able to give you about 2.5 rebounds per game, but you just take a look at this team and their breadth really of a lot of guys down low that are able to play. They bring in a guy in Dallas James who last season he was able to give the team 2 rebounds per contest. They're really going to need to rely heavily on him, and they do bring in Isaiah Turner, who was playing at Middle Tennessee last season. He was able to give the team 7 points per contest, but only got out there for 7 games. You've got a very inexperienced group. You've got a new coaching staff. You really don't have a dominant ball handler for this team. I think that this could be a doomsday spot for South Carolina. As a result, set the Gamecocks as a 26-point favorite. South Carolina State, one of the lesser teams last few seasons in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, and I do think that both of these teams are going to be playing a little bit more up-tempo, so I set my total at 148, so going to be going with the over as well. 306-619, 306-620. It is Hartford, and they are going to be playing us to Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart is a favorite of a 1-2 points, and your total on this game, it is 144, and boy, I'm actually seeing Hartford as a favorite in one spot, and I cannot get behind this at all. I made Sacred Heart the 6.5-point favorite. I originally made them a 4.5-point favorite, but Coach John Gallagher of Hartford actually resigned yesterday. I'm not even kidding. He resigned yesterday. This is just an absolutely cataclysmically bad situation for a Hartford team that you feel for the guys on the roster, because they're going to be going down to the D3 level next season, and they're just really bereft of talent. You've got Briggs McClanahan, who was able to give the team about 5.5 points per contest last season, but he's nothing special for three-point range. Jared Kimbrough is someone that came in from LaSalle a few seasons ago. He's able to give you 5 rebounds per game, and Pierre Sow is a 7-footer that I believe he was at Virginia Union last season. This team just loses pretty much each other top 5 scorers from last season. And for Sacred Heart, they do lose a lot of their top scorers from last season. You are going to be missing Aaron Clark along Tyler Thomas that decided that they were going to be transferring out of the program, but you've got Nico Galletti, who was able to pull in their 8 rebounds per contest, and Bryce Johnson was able to give you 7 boards as well. So this team should be able to manhandle down low. Mike Sixsmith is a good 3-point shooter that 2 seasons ago shot 54% from 3-point range, down to 37% last season. I think that he's going to bounce back a little bit more this season. I like the addition of Aiden Carpenter. He comes in from Siena, not a great 3-point shooter, but someone that was able to give Siena 7.5 points per contest last season. And Raheem Solomon stepped away from basketball last season to really work on getting his degree. While he was at Niagara, was a career about 8.5 point per game scorer, shot in the mid-30s. 30s from three-point range. You should be able to really add something in the backcourt. You're just seeing the remnants of a Hartford team that a few years ago made the NCAA tournament. Very sad that they're going to be going down to the D3 level. And with John Gallagher, the coach that many of these guys really respected, I wouldn't be surprised if a few guys actually sit out in this game, just given the circumstances itself. Very bad situation here for Hartford. I did, as a result, make Sacred Heart the 6.5-point favorite. I do think that Hartford going to be playing a little bit more of a slow and controlled style. Sacred Heart, they're never really a blazer. They're never really a slow team, and I just don't think Hartford is going to be scoring a lot in this game. So my total at a 136.5 dive and under, and I like Sacred Heart on the money line as an underdog and or laying the 1 point that we're seeing right now. And we do wrap things up with 306-621, 306-622. It is Coppin State, and they're going to be on the road facing off against Georgetown. Only place I'm seeing a number on this game is DraftKings. Georgetown is a 16.5-point favorite. Total on this game is 148.5, and with Georgetown, I did make them an 18.5-point favorite. In a normal spot, this would be a spot in which I probably would take the 16.5 with Coppin State, but Coppin State is literally going to be playing a back-to-back. That is not too terrific. Now, Sam Sessions was really able to show out in that first game against Charlotte, and I mean, with Sam Sessions last season, he was able to put up double figures at Penn State. He was shooting 42% from three-point range. That's terrific, but you also saw there was no offense around him for Coppin State in that game against Charlotte as well. Mikey Hood, he was able to put in there right around 7.5 points per contest last season. Now, I will say, they've got Nenda Tark. He was able to be in the top five last season in terms of total steals per game, 13.5 points, 7 boards, nice stat sheet so far, but you really don't have a lot down low for this team. They're going to be relying upon Justin Winston. He comes in from, I believe, Robert Morris after he last season at good old Bobby Morris at 9 points, 3 rebounds per game down low. And for Georgetown, they went winless in the Big East last season, but they've done a nice job of being able to revamp this roster. They bring in Jay Heath, a double-figure scorer last season at Arizona State. That should be able to bolster things. Kudus Wahabu is a big part of their NCAA tournament run 2 seasons ago, a guy that is able to give you a block per contest, 8+ rebounds. He is going to be solid as well. And you bring back Ryan Matumbo. Lots of upside with him at 7'2". Has never really been able to put it together, but I do think that he could be in for a little bit of a better year this year. Wayne Bristol Jr., someone that comes in from the MEAC after he had 12.5 points per contest, 40% three-point shooting, and don't sleep on Akuka-Cook. Akuka-Cook shot 46.5% from three last season at UConn, someone that as a freshman at UConn averaged 2.5 blocks per contest. Also being able to pair that all up with a guy in Primo Spears that was one of the better scorers in the Atlantic 10 towards back half last season. I think that Georgetown should be able to dominate a Coppin State team that is going to be coming off of a back-to-back. I recognize that Coppin State might be a little bit tired, but at the same time, Coppin State, they have ranked in the top 10 in terms of total possessions per game each of the last 2 seasons. We know that Georgetown doesn't play any defense themselves. So if I tell you 162.5, I'm going over, and I'm going to be willing to lay it here with Georgetown. That will wrap things up for the Tuesday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, part of the Visa Family Podcast. Big thanks to Eli Hershkovich of the Lions for joining me in the last segment. If you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you hear podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and in it. If you've got a question, comment, think of an idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of 2 ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at JNN_41. Keep in mind, letter CM, name does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way, that's fine, an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast. Find that 5-star review. I'll be coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season. And these are coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.